Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear the amazing love that you've communicated to us in your holy word. Let our hearts be open for your spirit to work and for us to receive what you would desire us to receive in your word and worship this morning. Amen. Some of you may remember back in the late 90s to early 2000s on CBS Morning News, there was a segment led by Steve Hartman called Everybody Has a Story. And the premise of this account in this segment, that a new one, it was every 2 weeks, that Steve Hartman as a reporter was out to prove that everybody in America has a story. And so he would take a dartboard of the United States and he would throw a dart. And whatever town, no matter how big or small, that dart landed next to, he would travel to that town and he would open what some of us remember as the white pages. And as he thumbed through that, he would just randomly flip through the white pages in the phone book and put his finger on a name, and he'd pick up the payphone and he would call the home. And it was interesting because some people thought it was a scam and that sort of thing, and sometimes it took him a few names, but finally he would get someone that he had allowed to be interviewed. And it was fascinating because as he interviewed these individuals, it was true that everybody had a story. And behind each family and each individual, sometimes it was a story of heartache and tragedy, and sometimes it was a story of heroism and success. But it helped me understand and realize that each one of us is unique and each one of us has a story. And you look around the room this morning, each one of you has a story. And at this moment in time, our stories are intersecting. And this morning, I'd like you to think about maybe a specific part of your story, and that's your spiritual journey. And how God has brought you through a few years or many years, through ups and downs. And those stories, perhaps if you would write them and you would journal about them, which maybe some of you have, there's maybe parts of those stories that you're very proud of, in a good sense, not an ego sense, but just where you see God in amazing ways show up in your life, and perhaps there's chapters in that story that aren't so glorious, and perhaps ones that you'd rather rip up and throw away and have nobody ever know about. And I would guess that if you would chart your spiritual journey, it would kind of look like this, right? Times where you're closer to God, and sometimes you're farther away from God, and hopefully, if you draw a line to average it, that the continuum is getting closer to God. But again, not only does every one of us have a story, but every one of us is on a spiritual journey. And again, today those intersect. And no matter what background and what your past has been, I'm glad that God has brought our stories together and our journeys together today. Because he wants to speak into that journey. And he wants you to understand something very significant. And to do that, he uses a story. Perhaps for some of us, it's one that is familiar. It's titled The Parable of the Prodigal Son, sometimes labeled the Parable of the Waiting Father. And Jesus would tell these stories. They're called parables. And he would use an earthly example to teach a spiritual truth, to help people along their spiritual journey, and to help them understand something about God and their relationship to God. And so Jesus tells these three stories, really in Luke chapter 15, that's in the New Testament, third of the Gospels, that record the life and events of Jesus Christ. And Luke was a companion, a travel companion of Paul, and he was a detailed guy. And so he investigated all the accounts of who Jesus was and what he did, and under inspiration of God's Spirit, he wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then the second book he wrote was the book of Acts. And so in Luke chapter 15, he records the story that Jesus told, starting at verse 11. And I'd like to just work through this story, and I invite God's Spirit to work in your heart this morning, and let him show you where your story intersects with this story that Jesus told. Jesus speaks these words in Luke 15, starting at verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Let's just pause there. I don't know exactly why this younger son felt like he needed to leave home. And perhaps Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, leaves that detail out. So perhaps we could insert our own situation. The son was obviously frustrated, or perhaps he thought that there was a better life beyond what his father was offering him. And to ask for his portion of the inheritance, in essence, he's saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead, because I want what I would only receive if you were gone." And again, what would lead this son to the point he says, "I'm leaving home, and Dad, I wish you were dead, so if we could just pretend you're dead, and you give me my portion of the inheritance, I'll be off, we'll part ways, and see you later." And so kind of the amazing thing is the dad agrees to it. He says, "Okay, I know I'm not dead yet, but I'll pretend I'm dead, and I'll give you the inheritance that I was going to give you." And so the son takes it and leaves home, and he squanders it in wild living. And again, perhaps the details aren't here. It doesn't say he went down to the blackjack tables and squandered it there. Later, the older brother says he spent time with prostitutes, sexual immorality, so that component was part of it. What he did with all his wealth, it just simply says he squandered it in wild living. And so again, as we think of our story and our journey, perhaps we'd say, well, I'm not exactly like the younger son, but perhaps there are times where we have felt, because in the story, the father figure is God himself. And the two sons are to represent us as God's people. And again, while our story may not specifically match the younger son, Jesus is inviting us to see ourselves in that story. And perhaps as you charted your spiritual journey, this is one of those troughs, where maybe you didn't say, "God, I wish you weren't completely out of my life," but you felt kind of distant. And you just wanted to do life your own way, and you wanted to spread your wings. Because maybe as we think about coming back to church, having an experience in the church where God is supposed to be present and proclaimed and preached, that maybe your journey drifted you from the church because you felt like God was forced down your throat. And you had it. You said, I don't want any of that. And perhaps your perception of church was it's better outside the church than it is inside. And so you left. After the son had spent all he had, there was a famine in the land, and he couldn't get even some money to work. Now, for a Jewish person to offer himself to work with pigs, you're at bottom. You are at bottom. Because the pig was an unclean animal for a Jew. And for him to sit and feed the pigs, and for him to be so hungry that he desired to eat what the pigs ate, Now, my uncle had a farm in Redwood Falls, Minnesota, and we fed his pigs, and I never, ever had a desire to eat what the pigs were eating. But to be at a point where you just want some of that feed mix, you're at bottom. And perhaps, again, as you think about your story, maybe you're in one of those troughs. Maybe you're at bottom. And you're thinking, there's got to be something better. So here's what happens next. Verse 17. When the son came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father." He began to think, you know what? Perhaps life in my father's house wasn't all that bad. In fact, the servants, my dad took such good care of them that they never had to worry about what they were going to eat. And here I am starving, feeding pigs. To even come to that realization that I'm heading back to my father is an amazing work. The scriptures say he came to his senses, he came to his realization. And he says, "I'm going to go back and I'm just going to ask, 'Dad, I have sinned. I've missed the mark. I did something I wasn't supposed to do and I shouldn't have done. And I'm simply asking you not to receive me back as a son.'" Because in his mind, he said, "I don't deserve that." And we can look at it and say, you know what? He didn't deserve that. He said, "Dad, I just want to be one of your servants. I will serve you if I can just have a little food to fill my stomach." And as Jesus is teaching this story, and we find ourselves in that low part of life, in our journey, in our story, he invites us, return to the Father. Now, perhaps as that son is thinking of returning to his father, if I'm in his shoes, there's some questions. In my mind, I say, okay, I will plead with my father to let me back in. But I don't know if he will. I don't know if it's worth the risk. He could have said, you know what? I'm done. He could have blamed God for his circumstance in life, and he could have said, if this is how God's going to treat me, then I'm never going back. But something was in his heart that says, I'm going to return to my father and just ask for a little bit. Now, as you're walking home, imagine the fear, the uncertainty. How is Dad going to react? And perhaps on a Sunday like today, as individuals take that risk and step through the church doors one more time, they're thinking, I don't know how they're going to react. I haven't been here in a while. Has it changed? Are they going to accept me? Now, for most here this morning, this is part of your weekly routine. But perhaps there's been a point, or there will be someone in your life that is going through exactly that. And we pray, yet part of today, that someone will take that risk and return to the Father. And as we talked about last week, that we as God's church can represent the Father. And that representation is an amazing reality of how the Father reacted when his son came back. Because the Father could have written his son off and said, you know what? I don't care if he ever comes home. After what he did and how he treated me, how he misrepresented my name, how he squandered all this wealth, how he made a reputation for himself as anything but what I want my family to represent. Here's what happens. But while he was still a long way off, verse 20, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. His gut went out, his heart went out to him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The father didn't back up and go, oh, yeah, you're right. I don't know what got over me. You know what? You're right. You're a stinker, and you don't deserve to be called my son. He doesn't do that at all. Rather, he embraces him tighter and says to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandal on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine who is dead is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The second thing Jesus wants us to understand is to realize the depth of Jesus' love. Realize the depth of our Father's love. There's a young gal in North Carolina that she came to church a couple times. And if you would understand her story, it was one of ups and downs, and probably more downs than ups. And if in your mind, perhaps you would script like what a church person looks like, whatever that would mean. She struggled with drug addiction. She struggled just in life in general, in relationships, in being a single mom. And we kept inviting her back. And I remember one conversation, she said, Pastor Mike, I'm just not good enough to come to your church. There are two things about that that have stuck with me. One is, that's how people feel. And the second thing is, they don't need to feel that way. Simply because what's found here, I pray, is the depth of the Father's love. And I kind of chuckled a little bit to her and I said, if you only knew the stories of everybody who comes to church. And I know there are things in your past that I don't know about and the person sitting next to you don't know about, but God does. And he welcomes you home. Because that's how great his love is. That he sent Jesus to cover each one of your sins. And no matter how far you've drifted, today he says, welcome home. Experience my love. Because I'm your father. And although you left me, I never left you. And although you might say you don't deserve my love, he just simply says that's what grace is. It's not deserved. It's given. It perhaps would be nice if this story that Jesus told ended here, right? Big party, son returning home, but there's a second son that's been waiting in the wings. And it's important to look at this son as well. Because he has a very different reaction. Here's how the older brother reacts. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you killed a fattened calf. And you can just imagine what's going on, this older brother? We don't know the period of time that this took place between when the younger brother left. And you could just perhaps see on the sidelines of the older brother going, man, what a jerk my brother is. How could he treat my dad like this? And he went through life doing what his father asked. And he was working and he was doing and he was adding value to the family farm or whatever business they were in. He goes, I have served you, Dad. And I never got a party like this. Without saying it, what is he saying inside? My younger brother doesn't deserve this, and I do. What was the story of this older brother? He figured, that the love of his father was determined by how good of son he was. And he was mad because his father was showing love to his brother who is not very good. And the dad comes out to him and pleads with him. Put aside your self-righteousness. Understand my love is freely given. As it has been given to you, I am giving it to your younger brother as well. Why does Jesus include this second son? I think perhaps for some of us who have been part of the church, because at the setting of Luke 15, right at the beginning, Jesus is speaking this and two other stories to Pharisees, people who were part of the church. And Jesus wants us to realize that even in our hearts, we can sometimes look at the outside and say, what a bunch of sinners. Thank God I'm not like them. And when God's mercy and grace comes to one of those individuals, perhaps the temptation is to say, they don't deserve it. I have been faithfully coming to church. I have done this all my life. And God, I have served you in this way and that way. I have never taken a break. And inside we're saying, God, I have earned your love. And I don't feel you're showing it to me right now. And the father wants the older brother to realize, that's not how my love works. Not at all. That his love is freely given. And that we can rejoice that the Father's love is yours. The story concludes in verse 31. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The father wanted the older son to realize, all I have is yours. You have my love. Not because you've worked so hard or earned it. I've given it to you and you've experienced it and you've been in the center of it. But the son had lost that focus. And perhaps if going to church has been part of our regular habit, what Jesus wants to speak into our hearts is, you've always had my love. And your service and your life is simply a response to that. And let's rejoice when someone who has been outside of my love comes back. And we can celebrate, not only because the love is for them, but that love is for you. And to each one this morning, Jesus is saying, welcome home. Welcome home, where your Father's love is very real. And your Father's love is for you. No matter where your story has been, no matter how you would chart your spiritual journey, today, all of ours intersect with one thing. And that's the Father's love. Who says, I welcome you with open arms. Let's put a ring on their fingers. Let's kill the fattened calf. Or at least have a hot dog barbecue after the second service. But let's have a party. Because it doesn't matter whether I have been or I have drifted. Today, we intersect with the Father's love. And today, he is writing that love in the heart, in your heart, to add to your story and to your spiritual journey, to bring you out of the depths or to bring you down from the height of pride and say, let's just live in this spot. Let's live in the love of the Father. And let's realize what a blessing it is to be back home where the Father's love is. Amen.